This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Wow, a dancer's eye view of China. How cool is that? So, of course, I jumped at the chance to talk with dancer Shane O'Hara, who just got back from taking a group of JMU students dancing in China.
分开之后另一年的春天，记忆也像下雪一样溶解。 I've been there before with another colleague a couple years ago, and actually did teaching at Chengdu University.
Dance
teaching. And then we brought teachers from two schools to JMU for teaching master classes. And then we had one come in and actually set a work that the repertory company that I direct did.
Explain the term set a work.
Set a work,
somebody
yeah.
Doesn't know it.
It's basically creating a dance to make a piece of choreography. And this person, Wei Chen, who teaches at Chengdu University, had actually got her master's at Shenandoah University in about 10 years ago and became connected through that.
You know, we think of China as being difficult to penetrate. And what I'm hearing is that personal connections had something to do with it?
Yes, and that's really reflective of China as well. I mean, the whole culture is so based on family, friends, who you know, who your circle is. You can send hundreds of emails, but when you finally meet that person, the whole relationship begins.
Why did you want to do this?
I'm very interested in developing these international connections, not just for JMU, but for myself.
Why?
From my first trip when I was 25 to Greece, I got bit by that bug to travel, to meet people. And teaching dance is such an incredible way to make that connection in a very passionate, in a very intimate way. And it doesn't need language as much as other things. And when you start working with other dancers, even if the language is not connecting you.
Spoken language,
yes, exactly. The movement language comes through. And China is so interesting because they're changing, they're moving forward. Everyone thinks of them as, you know, the number one now. But in a lot of ways, they still are catching up in kind of that emotional, passionate way in the arts.
And how does this reflect in dance?
What was so wonderful about this trip is most of the universities we worked at, their dance programs are not like ours. Very strong dancers, really passionate teachers, but their focus for choreography is traditional Chinese dance. A couple schools really emphasis on minority forms, Tibetan dance mm-hmm. forms. And then also one school had a really strong ballroom emphasis. It was the Chengdu Sports University. And actually one of the top sports universities in China, like number three. Everything's a number in China. So number three, this is, you know, Olympians come from this. And so the way they combine the Chinese traditional with ballroom, with a modern contemporary, was just really, really interesting.
And by ballroom, you mean like the foxtrot?
Yeah, but more like competitive, because they call it sports dancing.
Okay.
You know, that's a term in Chinese. It's not ballroom, it's sports dancing. You go, you compete. And these dancers were like incredibly fine-tuned machines. But coming back to that question, I could be in front of them and I could go, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or ichi ni, you know, and turn around and they'd have it. But if I said, okay, do this 8, and then I want you to improvise for 8 counts, they'd just stand there. Because they're, even if they understood the words, you would have to start doing something to give them any type of place to break off from.
So it's more structure.
It reflects how they learn, their education system. You know, it's sit, listen, read, respond. So when you have an American teacher saying, what's your idea? Can you just move without me? That's real. So, but once they start doing it, they love it.
When did you get the idea for this China trip? I'm curious about how complicated it was to put it together.
Well, we had gone in 2011, and there was this concept of returning there And I work with the Virginia Repertory Dance Company, which is like kind of our pre-professional dance ensemble in our dance program. It's for people that really want to think about being professional performers, choreographers, teachers. And I proposed it. I said, well,
proposed it to
the dancers. I said, are you interested in doing this? Because if we do this, we're going to spend all year fundraising for it, and you're going to do it. So part of that was not me just going, okay, I'll take care of everything and then, you know, give you your passports and go. They did fundraising all the way through the year. So they're learning about, you know, I told them when you're in a company or when you run a company, like a nonprofit radio station, the work is about 25% and fundraising is about 75%.
Yes.
And the ability for them to have a whole year of doing activities they did, all the publicity, all the arrangements, they performed in it. So we raised almost 50%, about pretty close to like $15,000. And the trip was like 25 total. And they each paid a little bit. So, yeah, the question is, why did I take this on?
Why did you take it? Yeah, that was the question.
I don't know, you know? I mean, I thought it was a really important thing to do. And even though in some points of the year I thought this is like getting to be too much and finally coming up, I think it set a goal not only for me but also for the company. And we also had three other dancers that were not in the company that were participating. And it just had this great energy heading toward it. Some of these people had not traveled abroad. None of them have been to China. So there was something exciting about leading them into that process.
And leading them through the work necessary, especially if you're thinking about running a company or ever find yourself running a company.
Yeah.
I would think that part of this experience would be invaluable.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people when you say, I say I teach at JMU, and they say, well, where? I say, well, I teach dance. And there's always that pause, oh.
Why is that?
Yeah, and then you say, well, what do you... Well, because they don't see it as a viable art form that you would teach and actually be able to work in through university. And then I say, well, but, you know, this is what our dancers do, and some of them do this and this and this, and part of that is teaching them the tools of just surviving in the arts. Whether you're a visual art, whether you're music, whether you're theater or dance, you got to know just how to survive and move forward. And so in this company, yeah, we could just have rehearsal and perform and that'd be fine. But these other parts of, no, you're in charge of carrying the costumes. You're in charge of making sure can you do the music for me? Can you put that on a CD and bring it in tomorrow? So all those things become part of the learning process, which is invaluable when they leave.
Was it difficult arranging the structure of the visit at all? He's laughing.
Well, put it this way. I run a program every other summer to London that's a studies abroad program mm-hmm. for a month. The way I put it is it made seem going to London like going to the 7-Eleven down the street. It is easier. People have email. People have phone numbers. All the schools that we went to, all of them have international program offices where you're connected with translators. And so that part is pretty easy, but the whole development and organization is very difficult. It takes months and months of email. And I kept telling, I'd meet with the students and say, okay, because this is the fifth time I've been back to China. I went first in 96. So this is, I've seen the changes. I said, okay, we are going, one, if the visas come back okay, and I think the visas are fine. I haven't heard back from that person. And if we go, I can tell you where we'll be. I have no idea what we're doing. And even if I had an idea of what we're doing, it would change daily. So
Were they okay with this? This group of young people who had never not done much traveling.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing is, I prepared them for it. Because, you know, I said, and when we get there, the whole idea is you got to leave your American organizational person at home. And sure enough, when we got there, it was like my number one thing is I'd get on the little bus or van they had first, and I'd say, change of plans. Almost like every morning, afternoon, evening, change of plans.
And what kinds of plans would change?
Well, you would have something scheduled to, there's a really wonderful school we went to, the ABBA Teachers College, which is actually in the earthquake zone, but it's 2008. And the whole college was rebuilt. It's specifically a university that deals a lot with the minority Tibetan art forms and really wonderful students and faculty. So we had this time where we were on the schedule, it said students meet and have experience. And so I asked the translator, she goes, well, it's like you will go and the students have time to interact. And so right before we headed out, I said, okay, you might want to bring your tennis shoes because I think we might be doing some Tibetan dances. Well, it turned out to be like a Tibetan minority art form dance jam. They all get in these big circles and they just start doing these folk dances and it's like jamming. And they go from one to the next to the next to the next. And it just went on for two straight hours and, you know, exhausting but fun. And then, you know, our dancers started doing hip hop and they started doing a hip hop circle. So what was on the piece of paper had nothing to do with what...
It was an experience.
Yeah, it was great. And I think that was the biggest thing with the students is once they just went with it.
So they learned how to do that.
Yeah.
As well as learning that you could go to China without everything nailed down about where you were going to go and without a nailed down itinerary. Can you talk a little bit about traditional Tibetan dance?
Well, yeah,
what it looks like.
You know, it's so interesting because in America, this is another thing about traveling with dance abroad. In America, we don't have a base of a folk dance tradition. I mean, the closest we get to it is contra dancing or square dancing. Country line dancing is actually, is kind of, but we really don't have a tradition where in elementary school, everybody learns certain dances, mm-hmm. you know. Where in China, it's so based in the culture. So you have traditional Han, which is the majority dances, but then you have all these different minorities. And specifically in the Tibetan region, they're really interested in Chengdu area because it's on the Tibetan plateau. They're very formal. They're very beautiful. They're very difficult. So one thing that was really cool in ABBA and at Chengdu Sports is in the morning, all our dancers would split up. Two would each go to a different minority dance or Chinese dance and take the class with the teacher. And then the next day, they would teach modern jazz musical theater. So that was a really great interchange. But they're hard. It looks easy when you see it because it's repetitive. But when you start trying to do it and put the foot with the rhythms, very rhythmic, very structured, but you have a top part of the body that's floating in space while the legs are like, you know, pile drivers, you know, and doing intricate footwork.
So it's like walking and chewing gum on steroids, kind of. You can see lots of pictures of Shane O'Hara's excellent adventure in China on the Spark page at WMRA.org. Back after a break with IT nerdette Renee Paralek.